This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
A week ago tonight, I was at the Fayetteville Public Library.
Yes, you're hosting a forum for Theater Squared.
That's right. Their second production of this year is titled A Period of Adjustment, and it's a Tennessee Williams play.
Mm-hmm. And it's one that not a lot of people know.
Right. Earlier, we were talking about the Arkansas State Baseball League on the program, kind of a forgotten league. This is close to a forgotten play, as close to a Tennessee Williams play as could be forgotten. On that panel last Tuesday night at the library, Bob Ford, who's the artistic director of Theater Squared, Sean Patrick Riley, who is directing this production, and three members of the four-person cast, David Mason, Madeline James, and Liz French. Sean Patrick Riley, the director, began by assessing why A Period of Adjustment is kind of lost when it comes to Tennessee Williams scripts.
I think one of the reasons is the play is sandwiched right between Orpheus Descending and Night of the Iguana. So writing two great plays in 5 years might be kind of unheard of. I think in a lot of ways it got lost in that shuffle. And he'd been working on the play since 58, and the first production was actually directed by Williams down at the Coconut Grove. And then the first Broadway production was directed by George Roy Hill, who was, went on to be a famous film director with The Sting and Butch Cassidy and The Sundance Kid. And yes, it was this sort of response to why can't you just write us a comedy? And I think that it is a comedy in the Aristotelian sense that things work out. And I think it's maybe a comedy, especially a comedy about marriage. It is a comedy in the Shakespearean sense of the married couples work things out. But it's not Noises Off. It's not The Odd Couple by any means. It's a lost, I think, a lost classic by Tennessee Williams. And we took the Almeida script that that Martin got for us, and Bob and I continued to work on that. So I don't think I'm overstating it when I say this is, for this version of the play, it's a world premiere. You know, we've taken the Alameda script and further adapted it. So this will be the first time anywhere that this version of this lost classic by Tennessee Williams has been seen. So
that's somewhat exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely
really
exciting
cool.
For me.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
But all of the productions since that one back in whenever it was,
60.
Okay, including
the 10th of November, 1960.
There are three scripts with Tennessee Williams' name on them. All three of those scripts are different from each other.
Right.
And then we were given, there has been an understanding with this particular script, not with other Tennessee Williams plays, but with this script, that it's somewhat adaptable. You can change, to a certain extent, change at will. Mm-hmm. And so each of those American productions, there are some significant changes, like losing characters that are totally superfluous, cinching some things up.
Yeah.
No one here. Company, you're all safe.
No, you're safe.
Everybody's safe.
So far.
Exactly.
But yeah, this script will be unique to our production.
I want to ask David, Madeline, and Liz, were any of you familiar with this play or this, well, not the script since it, in this adaptation is world premiere, but with this play before?
Absolutely not.
Nope. Not even a little.
Wow. So
I had heard of it in passing, but I had never read it. I knew nothing of it. Yeah, it's definitely a lost one.
So after you had read it, you've auditioned. You're part of the cast now. What do you think of this 53-year-old script?
I agree. I think it really is like a lost treasure, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Bob and Sean have done quite a bit of work on it. I think the script and the original format, the original version that you sent was, I think that there were many elements of it that were sort of detracting from the streamline of the story and of the characters. And I think by honing it down to four characters, two couples, that it really has sort of crystallized what this play is about and what these people are dealing with. And I'm finding it really, I mean, really rewarding to work on. I just think these people that we're playing with are really interesting characters.
And there are so many beautiful poetic moments in this show. Just the words. I mean, it is Tennessee Williams. So once you kind of take away all of the slightly more cumbersome bits, the poetry really comes through. It's gorgeous.
And Liz, you were unaware of the...
Well, I read the full script last year when Theater Squared was in the midst of their season selection. And I thought it was interesting. And a good play, but I didn't feel the way about it then that I do now. And I think, I agree, I think that is in large part due to what Bob and Sean have done with the script. I just really fell in love with it once I read this final version and we started working on it.
This is Tennessee Williams, and you're talking about adapting. I remember I picked up a CD once with Garrison Keillor, and he had a song that said Cole Porter, comma, lyrics, additional lyrics, Garrison Keillor. And I thought, nah, you don't really have to do that. But there is a sense of responsibility.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think because it is Tennessee Williams. I mean, that adds... But I will say that if we were going to direct a version of Hamlet,
sure,
I would probably cut it. Because 5 hours of Hamlet is a lot.
Yes, it is.
And I love Hamlet. But as a director, as an actor, I would cut it. And I think... Maybe adaptation is a strong word. We have literally streamlined some stuff. There's some stuff was just the repetition of which was unnecessary. And you know, as David said, in the original form, I believe there were 9 characters in the script, and it was a different time. It was definitely a different time in the commercial theater where you could have a cop who came in and had one line. And terrific, the guy got paid to be on Broadway to come in and have one line in the third act. But that really pulls away from the focus on what the story is about these two couples. And I think that everything that Bob and I dealt with before I came down and before we had cast the show and everything was about what's the story? What's the story? And you know, it was almost the Hemingway thing of, if I took out all the really good lines, could I still tell the story? We didn't take out any of the really good lines, but we were really determined to focus on this story, which is about these two couples on Christmas Eve. And in my opinion, all really great Christmas stories are stories about loneliness. It's, whether you're talking about It's a Wonderful Life or Christmas Carol, the beginnings of those stories are about alienation, they're about loneliness, they're and this play is about these two couples who, to quote from another Tennessee Williams play, which is Val in Orpheus Descending, he says that we are all of us sentenced to the solitary confinement of our own skin. And in a lot of ways, this play deals with that as well. We deal with two couples, a married couple that's been married for a number of years who are absolutely frozen in the misunderstanding and the resentment that is born of their own past and manifest in their present that makes the future absolutely impossible. That's one couple. And this other couple who literally get married the night before Christmas Eve, which is when our story takes place, who are desperately trying to chart this terra incognita of a brand new marriage, a brand new relationship. That's the story that we wanted to tell.
We have a chance for a preview?
Is that we do.
We do.
Yeah, we have a short scene, just a few minutes of a scene from the first act. And what has happened at this point is that Isabel Crane Haverstick, our new bride, played by Madeline James, has just been dropped off at the home of Ralph and Dorothea Bates. Ralph is home alone because Dorothea has left him early this morning. And Ralph and George Haverstick, Isabel's husband, are war buddies. They served both in the Second World War together as well as in Korea together. Ralph got a phone call, hey, my bride and I are in your neighborhood, as it were. They're not. They're a long way away, but they decide to drop in. So Isabel gets dropped off at the house, and her husband puts the bags in front of the door, and he gets back in the car, and he drives off. So we find Isabel, this new bride, left on the doorstep of Ralph Bates.
He's gotten back in the car and driven off.
Driven off? Did you say? My heavens, you're right, he's gone. Mr. Bates, he's deposited me on your hands and driven away. Oh, how funny. Isn't this funny? It is no surprise to me, though. All the way down from Cape Girardeau, where we spent our wedding night, Mr. Bates, I had a feeling that the first chance he got, he would abandon me somewhere.
Oh, now take it
easy. That's what he's done. He's put me and my bags in your hands and run away.
Oh, now, no. The old boy wouldn't do that, for Christ's sakes. He just remembered something. He had to go get it, drugstore.
If that was the case, wouldn't he mention it to me?
No, he mentioned it to me.
When? He just called up from the car.
Oh, now, I've known that boy a long time. He's always been sort of way out, but never way out that far.
Where is your wife? Where's Mrs. Bates, Mr. Bates?
Oh, she's not here right
now. I'm such a fool. Oh, I'm such a fool. Now, why didn't I know better? Can you answer me that? He brought up everything but the little blue zipper bag, which is all that I asked for. It had all my night things in it.
Let me get you a drink.
Oh, thank you. No, I don't drink.
It's never too late to begin to.
Where's your wife, Mr. Bates?
Oh, she's not here now. I'll tell you about that later.
We'll be outraged. Christmas Eve is the one night of the year when you do not want outside disturbances on your hands.
I think I know what to give you.
I did expect it, but yet I didn't expect it. I mean, it occurred to me, the possibility of it, but I thought I was just being morbid.
Oh, now I know that boy. We've been through two wars together, took basic training together and officers training together. He wouldn't ditch you like that unless he's gone crazy.
Oh, Mr. Bates, George Haverstick is a very sick man. He was a patient in neurological at Barnes Hospital in St. Louis. That's how I met him. Yeah. I was a student nurse there.
What was wrong with him at the hospital, honey?
Well, if we see him again, if he ever comes back to this house, you will see what's wrong. He shakes. Sometimes it's just barely noticeable, just a constant slight tremor, you know, a sort of vibration, like an electric vibration in the muscles or nerves.
Oh, that old tremor's come back on him, huh? He had that thing in Korea.
How bad did he have it in Korea, Mr. Bates?
You know, like a heavy drinker, except he didn't drink heavy.
Yes, well, it's much worse than that now. It's like he had St. Vitus dance or Parkinson's disease, but it isn't Parkinson's disease. It's no disease at all.
What in the hell is it then?
That is a mystery. He shakes, that's all. He just shakes. Sometimes you'd think that he was shaken to pieces. Was that a car out front? No, I've caught a head cold, darn it. Now, when I met Mr. George Haverstick, oh, excuse me, you're watching TV.
No, I'm not watching TV.
Oh, I'm so wound up sitting in silence all day beside my silent bridegroom, I can't seem to stop talking now, although I hardly know you. See, I had him as a patient on the night shift at Barnes Hospital. My, did he keep me running. That little buzzer was never out of his hand. He couldn't sleep under any kind of sedation less than enough to knock an elephant out. Well, that is where I met George, and I was very touched by him. Honestly, I was very, very touched by the boy. I thought that he sincerely loved me. Now, I don't suppose another man could see George the way I saw him. He's so handsome, so afflicted and so handsome. Yes, I have caught a head cold. Am I crying? I guess it's fatigue. Exhaustion.
You're just going through
a little
period of adjustment.
Of course, he got the same diagnosis or lack of diagnosis that he's gotten at this Veterans Hospital in Korea and Texas and elsewhere. No physical basis for the tremor. Perfect physical health suggested psychiatry to him. Well, he blew the roof off. You think that accused him of beating up his grandmother, at least, if not worse. I swear. Now, Mr. Bates, I still have sympathy for him, but it wasn't fair of him not to let me know he'd quit his job until 1 hour after our marriage. He gave me that information after the wedding. Right after the wedding, he told me. Right on the bridge, Eads Bridge, between St. Louis and East St. Louis, he said, little bit, take a good look at St. Louis because it may be your last one. I'm quoting him exactly. Those were his words. Now, I don't know why I didn't say, drive me right back.
Isn't it strange? I didn't say turn around on the other side of the bridge and drive me right back. See, I gave up student nursing at a great hospital to marry a man not honest enough to let me know he'd quit his job till an hour after the wedding.
George, he's a high, strong boy, but they don't make him any better.
A man's opinion of a man. If they don't make him any better than George Haverstick, they ought to stop production. No, I mean it. If they don't make him any better than a man that would abandon his bride and listen, how many hours on the doorstep of a war buddy and then drive on without any apology to her, if that is the best they make him, I say don't make him. Did George tell you on the phone that he quit his job?
What job did he quit, honey?
He was a ground mechanic at Lambert's Airfield in St. Louis. I'd lost my job, too. I didn't quit exactly. No, I was politely dismissed. My first day in surgery, I fainted. When the doctor made the incision and I saw the blood, I keeled over.
That's understandable, honey.
No, not in a nurse. Not in a girl that had her heart set on nursing. How long has he been gone?
Just a few minutes, honey. Christmas Eve traffic is awful heavy, and George being George, he may... How long have you known George?
I'm afraid that I married a stranger.
Everybody does that.
There we are.
Highlights of an artist forum a week ago tonight at the Fayetteville Public Library featuring three members of the cast of Tennessee Williams' Period of Adjustment that opens this weekend, Theater Squared. The members of the cast we heard, David Mason, Madeline James, and Liz French. Also, we heard from Sean Patrick Riley, the director of this production, and Bob Ford, who is the artistic director at Theater Squared. For more information about this production or the entire Theater Squared season, you can go online to theater2.org.
Wine dates back 8,000 years, but ancient wine was quite different than the drink we know today. For one thing, it tasted pretty bad. So bad that people would add things like lead, pine resin, and marble dust to improve the taste. On the next Fresh Air, Paul Lucas talks about the history of wine. His new book is called Inventing Wine. Join us.
Fresh Air tonight at 6 on KUAF.